Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and for the last time, Windows, I'm not gonna use Teams. Stop opening it already! And with me I have...
Oh, how I long for black hole singularity of reality. I'm waiting, God!
And...
What's the time? Oh shit, it's Discotheque Day! Wait, the button don't work. It's supposed to play, oh shit, it's my Thundercat.
Well, it did. It happened on a Monday, wink wink.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, because right now, obviously, it's Wednesday or Thursday or whenever the show goes up and is talked about, because we're lazy bastards around here.
I try my best, but sometimes the caffeine just doesn't do it, and I knock the fuck out. Ugh. Maybe I should finally develop that cocaine addiction. I feel like that would help.
Well, I mean, you live in the Miami vicinity, so I imagine you get a good deal from somebody in the area.
Alex, I hate to inform you, but it's the Miami area. The discounts are on meth. Different thing.
Oh.
So you're telling me Scarface lied to me for all these years?
I can't believe a movie would be fictional.
The nerve of these people.
Next thing you're going to send me, I'm in Cuban. Wait.
Anyway, so yeah, here we are, episode 378. Probably a good thing we got like a decently short one, because again, Discotheque Day. Something to take our minds off, well, you know.
Gestures vaguely at everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So, how's everyone's week been going outside of the, well, you know.
Well, outside of the you know, in a weird way, this is the most mentally healthy I've been in a while. I'm not dealing with my usual bouts of ideation. I'm not going to mention the word, you know, out loud because sensitive topics, but for whatever reason, I'm doing better now than I was a couple weeks ago, which doesn't make sense considering everything, but that's just how my very stupid, broken fucking mind works. Life is hard enough as it is. Like, I can't tell you what's going to happen or what's not going to happen going forward. I don't know what these fucking morons are capable of. They're a bunch of fucking morons. That's actually more dangerous than them being evil, narcissistic bastards. They're stupid, too.
See, that's actually my one source of comfort, is that hopefully, like last time, they'll possibly be too stupid to actually get anything done.
It would be nice, but again, with idiocy comes unpredictability. So consider this a baseline platitude. I can't tell you what will not happen going forward. All I know is we're all going to live our lives just like we did the day before, albeit aware that there is a very, very large black cloud hanging over all of us that we have to just push up through to find the clear blue sky. Like all storms, this too shall pass. Just a matter of when and how much collateral damage is going to be left behind.
And how. Mark, what about you?
Let's see. It's cold outside. It's like fucking 20 degrees out. And it's sunny out. I can say at least I didn't have to work today. That's a good thing. But yeah, outside of dealing with the, with the you know what. I could offer some words of wisdom, but I don't have them. All I can say is, don't ask for any of us to help. But us mean black people. We want y'all. Remember, many. I can do this all day, many times.
Yeah, unfortunately, we are all subjected to a very terrible practical joke where about 10 years ago, somebody said, You know what would be really funny? And here we are now.
Yeah.
While also doing a line of cocaine.
Yep.
Some people. So keep that in mind, Rob. Cocaine is bad.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're already a bad person, but, you know, I'm not a dipshit, so I can handle cocaine perfectly okay. How else am I supposed to get through,
let's see.
The next 4 years?
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Other than that, well, from my taxes, which I should have a good amount of money, all this is the same as last year, which is like, well, at least eventually you might have money to make you feel better, or at least once you pay some stuff and not have to do no stupid small loans anymore, because you're broke and people actually money all the time. Yes, that happens.
Yes, that does happen.
Yeah, I actually gotta file those. I don't know, maybe I'll do it tonight. Anyway, as for me, well, I would like to mention just one funny little thing. So I had a gig with my band about an hour away from where I'm living, which if you're driving up there on a Friday night traffic means it takes you 2 hours to get there. Thank God I zipped over straight after work. So it was a fun night. It took place in like this little record store that had like a stage area set up and of course an area with all the records and stuff. But also I noticed that mixed in amongst the records were various other funny little media goodies, like various Blu-rays and DVDs, video games, like of various kinds. Like I saw Switch, Xbox, fucking, they had fucking Genesis games. Like they had the Beavis and Butthead game on Genesis, OG Sonic the Hedgehog, and Shaq Fu. Keep in mind, I'm looking at this next to fucking, like, you know, obscure death metal CDs and crap. But also, weirdly enough, there was some weeb shit mixed in there. So I was just kind of bored flipping through, trying to see out of curiosity they had. And, you know, I noticed a few things, like, for example, Josie the Tiger and the Fish, which I've been told is interesting, so I got that for myself. One Piece Film Red, which I shockingly have not seen yet. I saw something called Burst Angel, which I had no idea what that was. So when I looked it up out of curiosity, I was like, directed by Koichi Ohada. Oh, it's one of those.
Yeah, although it kind of works both ways because he is the guy behind MD Geist, but he's also the guy behind Ikitosu and Makinkey.
What a career.
He likes giant violent robots and giant ass titties.
I mean, okay, mood, I mean, but like, I'm not sure I want to go back and watch MD Geist again, but yeah, that was a thing that I saw in there. By the way, I wonder what he's actually up to these days. Hang on, man. Koichi Ohada.
He's still working.
What do you mean he's directing a series this year?
Yeah, I told you, he's still working.
In 2025, what in the fuck?
Yeah.
People like their titties.
And then the most interesting one that I noticed. So it had a price tag of $50. The tag also said Rare IDKY. And if you're wondering what exactly was Rare and for $50, it was the Funimation Steelbook of Your Name. Keep in mind, I didn't exactly know why it would be considered rare either. So
it's rare because they only printed so many of them, and it went out of print almost immediately.
Yeah, I asked in the Discord, and Duelist, hi, helpfully informed me of those details. I'm just like, I actually had to sit there and double take for a second when he said, like, wait, hang on. Your Name. Like, the popular anime film Your Name only had a limited run on Steelbook?
Yep, I have an eBay listing up now, and someone's trying to sell it for $150.
Jesus.
Well.
Yeah, other listings are for $90, $80, $100. It's one of those very, very short, limited run titles that they put out because this company continues to massively underestimate their customer base in every way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, either way, I have a $50 steelbook of Your Name in my collection now. Which, from the sound of it, seems like it's a steal by comparison.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, that was that. So, you know, fun weekend overall. Also, if we're commenting on current events, I would, just for the moment, for the record, I would like to say the following. Being autistic does not also make you a Nazi.
Yeah.
Why?
Don't use that excuse. Yeah, I hate when people use that excuse to be just on them being an asshole. It's like, you may be autistic, but you're still kind of a prick.
Elon's not even autistic. He's clearly fucking lying, like he lies about everything.
Yeah, that's just what he does, whether it involves government contracts or video games.
Jesus Christ, the mainstream media is going to fucking drive me up a wall.
So he's a scrub. So he's a scrub too.
Whatever. Yeah, he's a scrub who pays other people to play video games for him.
Wow.
God damn. Just fuck this guy. But yeah, there's my kvitching. But now let's move on from all that to the usual business. Of course, starting with the new song discussion for the past week. Not a lot, but I'm sure there'll be some interesting stuff to say about these few songs. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us and pick up some new songs, mark your calendars for new albums, all that jazz. In fact, Mark, you want to get things started over here?
Yes. So, I'm going to get it out of the way. There's your hip hop this week. So, yeah. Get it out of the way. Also, what I'm talking about is Yukimi, Kimi Nagato of Little Dragon. A couple months back, as a baby, she did her own solo track, and I thought, oh, it'd be interesting. And then tonight she got up a full album coming out March 28th of this year, titled For You. And also there'll be some appearances on that one from Leanne Levada's De La Soul's Plug One, and her father, Yusuke. Yusuke Nagato, which, okay, is this song good? Okay. Anyway, she has not one, but two new songs this day. Okay, first being Sad Makeup and Winter's Not Dead, which is true because I'm feeling winter right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who goes over with Sad Makeup? It's one of the more laid back, like, folky, jazzy type of shit that both for her and Little Dragon. And I thought, okay, it's basically trying to push down and control a sad feeling. The more you try to control, this is about the song. The more you try to control it, the more us feel around her. And like, it's like, okay, like, sometimes you're trying to control your sad feelings. That's a very like laid back feeling. It's kind of nice. Which, all right, sounds kind of good. I'm kind of digging this track. Winter's Not Dead is a bit more minimal, like long dark winters of basically how that shit will bring us down. And well, winter, well, Jesus, well, people do have some, you know, stone shit like, well, you're also called seasonal depression.
Yeah,
I think that might occur around winter time. At least I know some. At least I know a friend that had been saying that a couple of times. But I sort of get with this song. Okay, and we'll say like it's also a fear. It got that very passionate feel like. I still like Yukimi's vocals. I still think she's an amazing singer. She's a great singer, and that's all I got from here. Like they're not bad tracks. I can definitely see myself listening to this album coming soon.
Don't have much to add, but decent vibes all around. All right, now let's move on to the next track here. So it looks like the New Zealand band Alien Weaponry is going to be dishing out new material. Also on March 28th, their latest album, dated for then, is titled Te Ra, and we have the lead-off single here called Mau Moko. Now, a little bit of a quick linguistic lesson here. Moko refers to a facial or body tattoo that signals great status amongst the Maori people. Most of the time, it's usually like tattoos, you know, done by like native warriors and all that. At least from what I was able to gather. Now, for the song itself, the main thrust of the verses kind of gives me a few Lamb of God vibes here. Just that particular kind of hammer-on riffing, those double kick rhythms. Just kind of the general essence of like 2000s groove and thrash metal in the mainstream. So if like that era of metal's your thing, then you'll probably get something out of this. I mean, I think it has a decent sense of rhythm and melody and all. I'm still not, like, it's all right, but it's not wowing me though. I don't know what it is. I just can't put my finger on why I'm like, this is cool, but it's not fully my thing, you know?
Well, as someone kind of unfamiliar with these guys, native metal from New Zealand that, as the word is actually spoken and spelled, as evident by the comments of the Jimmy Kimmel Live Facebook page, Jont, J-O-N-T. You know what? Consider me interested for more from these guys. I was impressed here. I like the tone. I like the riffage. I like the heaviness. Call me curious for what's to come. And funny you mentioned Lamb of God, because Randy Blythe is on the album coming out.
Huh. Nice. Good for those guys.
Yeah. Oh, it's also mixed by Josh Wilbur, who has done work for the likes of Gojira and Lamb of God. So if it sounds familiar, that might be why.
That definitely explains a lot. All right, good to know they're at least in good hands. Now, moving on to the next track here. Also a March release. Looks like we finally have a date for the newest album from the extreme avant-garde jazz metal act Imperial Triumphant. Their newest record, Gold Star, is due out March 21st, and we have a new single here called Lexington Delirium, which features a guest appearance by Meshuga drummer Thomas Hake, doing guest vocals. Which, you know, might sound odd, but it's not that uncommon. He's actually done a lot of, like, sporadic spoken word stuff on Meshuga albums here and there. You just have to know which tracks to look for, but you'll know it when you hear it. Although I think when they do those tracks live, he usually lets, you know, Jens do the vocals, because, good lord, have you seen the drum parts he's had to play? I don't know how you play that and sing at the same time, holy fuck. But, yeah, getting into the song itself, I mean, the first couple of minutes definitely start off more atmospheric with these kind of drifting, ethereal guitar chords and melodies, before the full band enters and, of course, immediately hits you with, like, this slow, steady drum groove and a lot of these kind of, like, you know, subtly dissonant, like, angular guitar chords, and then quickly ramps up into more of the extremity that you'd expect with the frantic double kicks and sticking patterns and all the disorienting tremolos and rhythmic cadences on the guitars. Of course, you can't forget about a lot of the jazzier grooves mixed into the fold and everything. So it is certainly an Imperial Triumphant song. If it's not your thing, this probably won't change your mind, but as a weird head case who enjoys this kind of metal, count me in.
Well, it is most definitely an Imperial Triumphant song. It's heavy, very, very heavy and aggressive and heavy and, yeah, just heavy. Like a good plate of steak and potatoes.
Speaking of steak and potatoes, for our final song here, to quote Mr. Jared Alonji, hey Alex, you ever just feel like criticizing Whitechapel?
Yes, and I'll get to that when we get there.
Yeah, so it is time. Another March. Jesus Christ, is March going to be the month for us? Is that going to be when the office just blows up on fire and we're like fucking going overtime on every goddamn thing?
Oh, Lord, yeah.
So much March.
Yeah.
So much March is March.
So a while back, we did get like a new Whitechapel song teasing new material in 2025. And now we officially know that March 7th will see the band's latest album, Hymns in Dissonance. And of course, to go along with that announcement, we have the title track of the record here. And as we heard from the previous single, this, we've been on a trail of the band kind of exploring more melodic and emotional nuances, but sometimes you just gotta throw it back, and that's what they're doing with this record, as evidenced by the trend of the song so far. especially this one, we're throwing it way back to, like, fucking new era of corruption, this is exile era with, you know, the particular, like, fucking filthy riffs, nasty breakdowns, very aggressive, just Phil Bozeman delivering some of the hardest and most brutal vocals he's done on a record in a, like, fucking ever. Shit, apparently the concept of the record is kind of like, you know, about this cult that's, like, singing hymns to invoke their dark lord, and apparently the lyrics on this song in particular managed to call back to pretty much every song off of This Is Exile. So, like, goddamn, we are just not fucking around here. This is just pure fucking beef right here.
yeah. So, as the meme goes, do you ever just feel like criticizing Whitechapel? And while I enjoyed this, I do have one thing I want to get out of the way and criticize, just so it's out of the way. I can appreciate the more heavy-as-a-motherfucker approach on here, but as someone who really, really liked The Valley and Kin, and even considered those albums to be some of their best work, part of me is kind of bummed that it feels like the more melodic, emotionally clean elements are going away in favor of a more familiar, aggressive deathcore style on here. That being said, wow, fuck! This is gnarly and cutting and suffocating and intense, especially the breakdown drop. Fucking hell, that's brutal.
God damn. I need more strings on my guitar.
8 is not enough. We need 9.
It's never enough. But, yeah, so I'm looking forward to that, and that'll about do it for the news on discussion. We'll take a quick break when we come back. News topics, so stay tuned. And we're back. So we have 2 news topics to discuss here. The first one, of course, being fairly serious. So we do, unfortunately, have to dive back into the ongoing Tim Lambesis scandal.
Last time we talk about this motherfucker.
Yeah, because I don't know where else it progresses after this. So the last times we discussed the incident were after 2 clips being leaked online that showed a very, very disturbing, pretty much abusive exchange between him and his, at this point, ex-wife, Danny. Obviously, in the, you know, relative time frame that this all happened, she served him divorce papers. And he himself had claimed that he had a restraining order against Danny because she was being the physically abusive one. So it just seemed like a really toxic situation on both sides. And as for the most recent developments, it started with the leaking of a 3rd video, which I couldn't make this up if I tried. The footage shows Lambesis physically beating a dog.
Oh no.
Yeah. Obviously, that is an exceptional kind of shitty.
Yeah.
And, of course, with that clip, you know, going around, as well as the others, Danny eventually went on, you know, social media to set the record straight, first of all by saying that she was not the one leaking the videos and is asking, you know, whoever is leaking it to knock it off. And in this current statement, she also said that, like, her original October statement was drafted by managers, you know, PR crisis team and all that. Now, she's, of course, you know, speaking out on some statements that Tim himself gave in a public interview. In the broad strokes, Danny is accusing Lambesis of DARVO tactics. As a reminder, an acronym for Deny Attack, Reverse Victim and Offender. The full statement is as follows. Let me see. I did not release the videos that have come out of Tim Lambesis. Not the ones that were released in November, nor the ones that were released today. Out of respect for me, I'm asking whoever is leaking the videos to please stop. I will no longer stay silent out of fear of Tim. The lies being told by him in his last statement and in this recent podcast are deliberate attempts to cover up the truth and play the victim using typical Darvo tactics. There was never a domestic violence investigation against me, nor was there ever a restraining order placed against me. This is public information anyone can access online. The videos that Tim claims to have of me abusing him, quotes in the statement, are instances of self-defense and outbursts against his ongoing physical and mental abuse and repeated infidelity with hundreds of people. The statement I released on October 24 defending his abuse was drafted up by him and his new managers to protect his career and public image, which I have proof of. Tim has continuously tried to intimidate me, bribe me, and beg me to sign an NDA in our marriage settlement, stating that I will never publicly talk about him, so the truth will be buried when our divorce is finalized, which are all recorded conversations. I also have a recorded phone call from Tim a week ago, rationalizing and explaining why he thinks we should get back together. I refuse to let dishonesty overshadow the pain and trauma I have endured any longer, not just to me, but to others close to this as well. This isn't just about me. This is Tim's version of why his ex-bandmates left as I lay dying, and then there is the truth. There is no irony behind the timing of the dissolution of AILD and our marriage. Towards the end of the relationship, Tim told me, in psychology, when someone hears a story of abuse in a relationship from one person, they are more likely to believe that person's version because they were the first to tell the story. At the time, I didn't fully understand what he meant, but it's very clear to me now. The abusive, cheating narcissist will try to devour your life and your name with lies before he can shine light on the truth. I am done being silent.
Okay. Number one. Whatever is going on with this guy, it is very clear he is in dire need of, like, all of the help. I'm talking serious mental psychosis. This is a guy who needs major treatment. Holy fuck. Number two. Yeah, it kind of makes sense how everything is just sort of collapsing in on itself now with this guy. Number three. Repeated infidelity with hundreds of people. That is honestly something none of us really needed to know. But fuck. And number four. Metal Sucks and Metal Injection put up editorialized pieces regarding the story that the TLDR is they're not going to talk about this guy ever again. This guy has had too many chances to clean his shit up and try and redeem himself, and every single time it is very clear and very obvious to everyone involved, he keeps blowing it. I propose we take up the same position as Metal Sucks and Metal Injection. We don't talk about this fucking guy anymore. He does not deserve any kind of positive or negative air spoken out. Just let him be in his own fucking back pocket dimension. Go away. Just go away.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's for the best.
Yeah, you should leave, like, right now. Like, there's a door, there's some luggage, there's some Faygo, I don't know. I'll keep the Faygo. You'll deserve it.
This is the road down a very, very bad path that has a very, very bad ending. Somebody get this guy some serious mental help before something even worse happens.
Yeah. For the good of everyone that has to exist within his vicinity.
Ugh, God.
Yeah. Well, that was a downer.
Yeah, we need to lighten the mood.
Yeah.
Who wants to laugh at Drake again?
Always. Me. Here we go again, folks.
Yep.
Alright, so as we remember from last time, he was threatening, he was threatening via petition to sue, you know, Universal Music Group and Kendrick and all that over the fact that he lost the Great Beef of 2024, which is certainly a tactic. Now, on January 15th, so last Wednesday, his attorneys withdrew that early petition to kind of back out of everything. But then, hours later, that same day, he went on ahead and filed a full-fledged defamation lawsuit against Universal Music Group over the events of this whole thing. claiming that UMG knew Kendrick made inflammatory and shocking allegations that were false, but chose to place corporate greed over the safety and well-being of its artists. UMG intentionally sought to turn Drake into a pariah, a target for harassment or worse, the star's lawyers wrote in a complaint. Keep in mind, this is the Manhattan Federal Court and all. UMG did so not because it believes any of these false claims to be true, but instead because it would profit from damaging Drake's reputation. By the way, as we're going through these statements, I want to see UMG's response. What they said was, "We have not and do not engage defamation against any individual. At the same time, we will vigorously defend this litigation to protect our people and our reputation, as well as any artist who might directly or indirectly become a frivolous litigation target for having done nothing more than write a song."
Oh my god. Okay, if I had a nickel for every time I had to talk about a defamation case on one of these shows, I'd have two nickels, which is two nickels too many.
Right?
Here's something that I think is worth mentioning in this Billboard piece from one Bill Donahue, who wrote the piece. In one of the lawsuit's most vivid accusations, Drake claims that the release of Not Like Us has subjected him to the risk of physical violence, including a drive-by shooting on his Toronto area home just days after the song was released. Correlation does not always equal causation, Aubrey.
Yeah, like, I know there's Toronto gang shit going on. Like, I know Spectrum Pulse has alluded to stuff like that on his channel and on Blue Sky and all, but, like, dude. Like, what's that one joke from Watcher? I've connected the two dots. You didn't connect shit. I connected them.
Continuing. His attorneys likened the situation to, and I kid you not, this is what is written, Pizzagate, an infamous online conspiracy theory centered on false allegations of pedophilia that later inspired a real-life shooting. Number one, no. Number two, fuck no. And number three, turns out the guy responsible for that lives here in North Carolina. And he's dead now.
Ew. Yeah.
He died like a week ago in a traffic stop.
Oh.
So damn. That's how that ends up. Fuck me.
And also, Aubrey, you keep on talking about reliable and him making positive things of you being a pedophile. Didn't you, and let me repeat this, didn't you call Kendrick a wife beater?
Yeah. Now that would be a more direct claim, which could potentially be enough for a defamation claim, but
yeah,
obviously Kendrick's not going to bother with that, because why would he?
Yeah, because he don't get. Yeah, because he's not bitch mate like you are, Aubrey.
In fact, remember the exact words were, and I quote: "You hired a crisis management team to cover the fact that you beat on your queen." That is so specific. There's no way you can't call it defamatory. Let's not forget about the fact, the insinuation that apparently, according to Drake, Kendrick's kid isn't even his. He's Dave Freeze, supposedly.
Oh, God.
But also, there's just one kind of amazing quote in all this from UMG's response. Quote, "Not only are these claims untrue, but the notion that we would seek to harm the reputation of any artist, let alone Drake, is illogical." The let alone Drake Park is kind of amazing. But I gotta tell you, like, there's a part of me that actually wants to see this go to trial, because my YouTube recommendations the other day, they were giving me, he's a comedian, his name is Josh Johnson, I think his name is, and he did a whole bit about, like, he's done a couple of bits about the whole Drake and Kendrick beef, and specifically about the initial lawsuit filings. He was like, if this goes to trial, then that means Not Like Us will be a part of public court records. A stenographer is going to have to type out the lyrics. A lawyer is going to have to read those lyrics out loud in front of courts.
It says, certified little boy, certified pedophile. wop, 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 wop. Can he fuck him up? Wop, 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 wop.
Not only that, but in the actual legal filing, there are several other names attached who probably didn't want to be attached in a lawsuit. The names include, these are reaction people on like YouTube and Twitch, the Cartier family, No Life Shack, Zayas, RDC Gaming, and Kai Sinat.
Wait, hold up. He just said RDC Gaming as an RDC world, as in that RDC world?
Potentially?
So, you and...
To anyone out there who wants to read the entire filing, look it up. You'll find it. You will have fun laughing at how stupid this whole thing is.
And also, I have read that the registrants trying to sue, most of them are black. The white motherfuckers, he ain't suing them. Really?
See, I actually didn't know about that part until now. The fact that he's suing reaction content
Well, not necessarily suing them, but they are named specifically in the lawsuit as potentially benefiting from any presumed defaming of his name.
See, here's the thing. That much is technically true because just as a reminder, like, there was a little bit of like copyright stuff going on with all the reaction stuff, but. As it goes, Drake and his company was trying to get all kinds of stuff shut down, and while there were some copyrights coming from Kendrick's camp, the parties involved eventually lifted those, and as the content creators themselves said, they were making life-changing amounts of money off of all this. Maybe because Kendrick had the better song.
Ever thought about that?
Yeah.
Aubrey!
There's just one line. I have the legal filing pulled up here. One line that it is such mental gymnastics, I can't even begin to probably describe it. In the legal filing, there is a line in here. Furthering the recording's refrain that Drake is, quote unquote, not like us. The recording alludes to Drake's Jewish heritage, saying that Drake is not a colleague, but, quote-unquote, a fucking colonizer. Nowhere in the song is religion mentioned, Aubrey, you fucking moron!
My fucking God.
My God, you are just reaching, and you still can't grasp that he made the better song, and... Wow. And people actually like it.
Yeah, at this point, Drake should change his name to Monkey D. Luffy because this is a massive stretch.
Oh my god.
I wouldn't agree to that, but don't say Monkey D.
That's horrible. I apologize. I'll change that reference to Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, maybe Drake can say to a possible judge, Your Honor, my career is in the toilet. I had to do a collaboration song with Camila Cabello just to pay the rent.
Oh my God! Truly, we
had to do some. Go ahead.
We live in fucking clown world.
And the clowns are at the very top of the mountain.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, yeah, good luck with that, Aubrey.
Not!
Anyway, that about does it for the news. We have one last thing to touch on, and that is the new album releases for the week of January 24th, 2025. Starting at the top, we have the newest record from Harakiri for the Sky with Scorched Earth. From Central C, we have their debut record Can't Rush Greatness. From Boldy James, his second album of the month with Permanent Ink. From FKA Twigs, we have Eusexua. From Kane Brown, we have The High Road, if you really wanted to hear more songs beyond that fucking Marshmallow collab.
Oh, no.
And last, but technically not least, because a lot of people like this guy for some reason, Teddy Swims with his newest project, I've Tried Everything But Therapy, Part 2. Yeah, Part 2. Anyway, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The Bluer Skyline platforms, Anders Thoughts, where I just do a media thread and chime in every once in a while because life's too short to doom scroll. Also, the Discord and my other show and In Your Mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mark, what about you?
Of course, social media at Mental Media, where it'd be on Blue Sky, Instagram, or whatever you can find me. And of course, on my site, my Hype One at HypeOneNetworkWorks.com, and also in your fridge, because why not?
Dude, that's where I keep my Coke Zeros. Come on, man. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surrealresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at surrealresolution.bluesky.social. Visit the website, surrealresolution.com. Written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. Of course, be sure to jump into our Discord, linked there as well, so you can always be immediately notified whenever new stuff goes up there, and chat all kinds of fun stuff. Of course, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual business. So, until next time, God, I hope we survive.